I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero-sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
College basketball is nonstop, big games, tight spreads, momentum swings every night. And now FanDuel is giving you a way to turn that energy into even bigger wins with a college basketball parlay profit boost. Here's how it works. Build any college hoops parlay you like. The early tip, the rivalry game, the ranked matchup, the late night West Coast shootout. Mix spreads, totals, props, whatever fits your read of the slate. Then just apply your profit boost and instantly bump up that potential payout. Go safe, go spicy, go with the team you've been following all season. It's your parlay, your style, now with even more upside behind it. Head to FanDuel.com/podcast to get started. FanDuel, play your game.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Hurricane Hotline on FM 104.3 WQAM. An in-depth look at the Miami Hurricanes. Presented by Williamson Cadillac.
Williamson Cadillac. Experience the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac. From Miami's luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Delighted that you are with us. We'll be here for the next hour talking University of Miami sports. Coming up, we're going to hear from University of Miami basketball coach Jay Lucas. We'll also hear from University of Miami vice president and director of athletics, Dan Radakovich. And then, spring football underway, we'll talk with our great recruiting analyst, Larry Bluestein. All of that is coming up for you on the show. We'll begin with University of Miami basketball. Hurricanes went to the NCAA tournament on Friday night, defeated Missouri in front of a pro-Missouri crowd. And then on Sunday afternoon, a whale of a game between Miami and Purdue. Hurricanes coming up on the short end, 79-69. Miami led at halftime, 40-38, but got outscored in the second half, 41-29. But under Jay Lucas, the Hurricanes finished 26-9 in his first season, and they were able to reach the round of 32. So let's begin tonight's show with our conversation after the game with Hurricanes head coach Jay Lucas. All right, with University of Miami head coach Jay Lucas, after a tremendous run through the regular season, the ACC tournament, into the NCAA tournament, and the first thing that comes to mind, coach, first, congratulations on a heck of a rookie season as a head coach. You're a smooth operator, so that was and this was about as smooth as it could go with an entirely new operation.
Yeah, it was, and it's because I have great people around me, and it started with the university, it started with the administration, it started with the support system from the school, and then it went to the players and the staff. You know, I was blessed to be able to make some decisions that brought the right people to be here, which made this first year, I won't say it's seamless, nothing's ever seamless, but it gave me enough to make sure that I had the right people around me.
I think you nailed it in your press conference. First of all, it's hard to win. Secondly, it's hard to hit the March Madness. And thirdly, it's really hard to win in March Madness. And you were within striking distance of going to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, you know, it ends up being a 10-point game, but it was a closer game than the score reflects. But when you play in March and when you play really good teams like Purdue, the margins are so close that you have to be as sharp as possible. Yeah. You know, we had a few timely turnovers that led to runouts. We had some miscommunication that led to wide open threes. So it's just those little moments kind of what separates you. We just didn't capitalize when we needed to.
They are number one in efficiency, but we saw their balance in the game. I think they had 14 field goals in the paint and then 11 field goals outside of the paint.
Yeah, it was tough. They're one of those teams you got to kind of pick your poison. You know, we were trying to take away the three, and we just had some plays that we did some uncharacteristic things, and they capitalized. I mean, we helped one time in on Kaufman Wren, and it went to the lawyer. He makes the three. You do the same thing in the zone. We talked about a play that they run all the time, and they execute it, and Cox gets the three in the corner to end the half. So those little moments are big. Those are the ones you really have to execute within those details. You know, for us, we wanted to eliminate the three. We wanted to make Kaufman, Wren, and Smith the scorers, because in their losses, they're the leading scorers. And in their wins, Lawyer is, and some other people. But, hey, tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
I felt we were right there.
You were right there at the half. What was your thinking at halftime? You went in with a two-point lead at halftime.
Well, we should have been up 6-8 in my mind. We should have been up 6-8, and then it adds different type of game pressure to them. But they closed the half so well where it's only a 2-point lead. So it's not, you know, 8-point lead and 2-point lead when you're the favorite and when you have all the pressure on you, it changes. There's a big difference. So we needed to end the half a lot better, and I felt like that could have been the difference in the game.
You had Purdue wobbled a little bit. I think Matt Painter pretty much said that. He felt his team had a hard time containing you in the paint and containing your team on the glass.
Yep, you know, that was the game plan. We wanted to own the glass, and we did. We got 14 offensive rebounds. And then we had to play with great pace against them. We felt like we had a speed and an athleticism advantage, and we tried to really play to that, and I thought we did in the first half. The only thing and the difference in the game, honestly, is the free throw line.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't get fouled like we usually do, so we're taking away at least 8 to 10 points from the line that we usually get. If we only shoot 10 free throws in the game, it's going to be hard for us to win.
I thought you got fouled. You just didn't get to the line.
Yeah.
You know, we played the game in a hockey arena, and I think it turned into a little bit of a hockey game at points. 57, the game's 57-54. They start the second half pretty hot. You close it down to three. They had some separation. So maybe, and we talked about this before, maybe a 3 or 4 minute period where it didn't play as well. I thought, is it possible that their offensive efficiency wore down your offense because you're trying to defend, and sometimes when teams scores on you, it affects you on the other end of the floor.
It does. It does. And, you know, they're one of those teams that they capitalize off your mistakes, and there's few teams in the country that do that, and that's why they're the number one offense in the country. And it just shows to their pedigree, their poise, their maturity. When you have Kaufman, Wren, Fletcher Lawyer, Braden Smith, who've all have been there for multiple years, and that's your foundation.
Yeah.
Like, had a kid who leads the NCAA in assists all time. Whoever thought that record would be broken? It lets you know just the continuity that they have. And in those moments, it really showed. You know, so to take that 3-point lead to, I think it ended up getting to 11 or 10 or whatever it was, that's where that really shows up.
Those guys are all 140 games or more. You turned Smith over 8 times. I imagine that each one of those turnovers was a gold nugget for you.
It was. It was. And that's what we tried to make it as tough as possible on them. My thing was to put size on them. I hadn't seen him really guarded by size, but I played against him in person, so I knew what his size was. And being a smaller guard, it always hurt me when you put bigger people on me. And that's all we tried to do to him, and then give him different looks and different coverages. But then he had a segment in the game, and Matt Painter's a good coach. They started running this certain angle ball screen, and it gave us some trouble. We ended up fouling him. Ended up with a three. He hit a fadeaway, and that was kind of the separation.
All that being said, Sheldon Henderson about ready to make it a two-point game, and the ball, instead of being a slam dunk, it went about a mile in the air.
Yeah. You got to have some things bounce your way. You got to have the ball instead of going in the air, going to rim. You know, those moments are big within the game. I don't know, Josie. Yeah, right, you know, it says we're right there because a two-point game is a big difference.
This gives you a chance to maybe decompress a little bit. Been through this for 1 year, got to the second round of the NCAA tournament. I would imagine this is going to be an exciting offseason for you coming up here in the next couple of weeks, putting another team together.
Yeah. You know, that's the nature of the beast and the nature of the job in this day and age of college athletics and college basketball is you almost go into every all season not knowing if you have anybody back and if you have to get a new roster. You know, for me, I want to have some of these guys back. I want to build a program. I want to build some roster carryover. Your best teams, that's what they have. You know, that's what Purdue had today. That's what these other really good teams who are playing in the Sweet 16 have. And so it gives you an advantage. So we got some big holes to fill. You know, Trey, Malik, Ernest, they were huge for us this year. Huge. I don't know if we can find people to replace them, but we got to find enough parts to fill that void.
This also, the success you had this season, I don't know if it makes it any easier or not, but certainly whoever is going to come in here and play for you, they now know they're going to have a fighting chance at success.
Absolutely. And that's why the first year is so important to just put everything out there because it's your first appearance. You know what I mean? So you want to be able to play in big games like this. You want to play in March Madness. You want to win. You want to have your transfers be successful and have success. You want to have freshmen who played in your program. You want to have all the things you think about show up so you have it to sell. You know, and for us, this is the beginning. This is the beginning. This isn't what we should expect this. I guess that's the best way to put it. Like, we should expect to be in these games. We should expect to be in the Sweet 16 and fighting for that every year. And then hopefully you get some things go your way where 1 year you're competing for a national championship.
To wrap it all up, maybe some quick thoughts on Trey and Ernest and Malik, what they brought to you and how important they were for you.
I mean, I told him in there, I'm forever in debt. I'm forever in debt. I told him words can't express how I feel about them and what they did for me and for the program of trusting me, someone who's never coached, a first-time head coach, and them coming and letting me coach them and letting the staff coach them. It's not enough words. It's not enough time to express how important they are to me, but how important they'll be to the future of Miami basketball.
See, we've done this whole interview with your family in here. Look how well-behaved they are. If you've got command of these little ones, you're certainly going to have command of a basketball team. There hasn't been a peep out of them.
No, that's because the real head coach is over there, and she's got command of everybody. You know, so for me, when I'm home, I fall in line. You know, I'm coach everywhere else, but when I'm home, I fall in line. So I get a little bit of family time, take a few days off, spend it with them, but then it's right back to it.
All right, Coach. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it. It was a wonderful season. Looking forward to next year and looking forward to seeing what you create here in the offseason. Thanks very much.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Josie. Appreciate you.
All right, that's University of Miami head coach Jay Lucas. When we come back, we'll talk with University of Miami vice president and director of athletics Dan Radakovich as we continue on the show right after this. Let me talk to you for a moment about one of my favorite subjects, Williamson Cadillac, Miami's luxury dealership, founded over 50 years ago. You know, Williamson is much more than a dealership. They are our friends. They're our neighbors. They are our family. Williamson Cadillac, under Ed Williamson and his lovely wife, Carol, they have built a loyal client base by staying focused on the customer experience. When you go into Williamson Cadillac, you are treated like family. They will get you set up in a first-class manner. No hassles. New models are arriving every single day at Williamson. XT5, XT6, the all-new electric Lyric. If you want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle, then go to Williamson Cadillac. Easy to find, located on US 1, just south of the Palmetto. Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
College basketball is nonstop, big games, tight spreads, momentum swings every night. And now FanDuel is giving you a way to turn that energy into even bigger wins with a college basketball parlay profit boost. Here's how it works. Build any college hoops parlay you like. The early tip, the rivalry game, the ranked matchup, the late night West Coast shootout. Mix spreads, totals, props, whatever fits your read of the slate. Then just apply your profit boost and instantly bump up that potential payout. Go safe, go spicy, go with the team you've been following all season. It's your parlay, your style, now with even more upside behind it. Head to FanDuel.com/podcast to get started. FanDuel, play your game.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hurricane Hotline continues on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Welcome back to the show as we continue on. Now is our conversation with University of Miami Vice President and Director of Athletics, Dan Radakovich.
All right, with University of Miami Director of Athletics, Vice President, Director of Athletics, Dan Radakovich. And man, what a season you've had here with football going to the championship game. Basketball making a nice run, so it's been a good athletic year so far.
Well, sure has, Joe. First of all, it's always great to see you. Glad to be on the show. Football phenomenal. Everybody knows that story. Yeah. Basketball, though, I tell you, the turnaround that Jay and the guys have made have just been unbelievable. The fact that our women's team's still playing right now, they're playing in the WBIT. I mean, it's really good. And then, of course, you know, the regular springtime stuff with baseball and golf and track and tennis. It's a busy time of year on campus.
This run University of Miami made in basketball, what kind of impact do you think it has for the future?
Well, I think it really sets an incredible foundation for the staff and the players. You know, it really proves concept and allows Jay to really go out and tell people it's just not me recruiting you, or we think we're going to do this, or this could happen. I mean, we're just a couple of years away from a Final Four. Now we're here and we're in the round of 32. So, I mean, people know that you come to the University of Miami, you have the opportunity to play at a high level and play deep into March.
Now, for Coach Lucas, really a sensational year, and just gives him a ton of credibility, right, moving forward with recruits and so forth.
I think that's exactly right. And I think we'll continue to see not only, the lifeline of building programs in college basketball is different now than it was a while ago. It used to just be, obviously, the the recruits and the freshmen coming in, they're still very, very important. We have a really great one, you know, here in Shelton, Henderson. So, but you're still going to be able to fill in those other pieces through the opportunity on the transfer portal. So we'll see how that goes for us. I think the year that we've had will allow us to really go in and look at the highest of high-level players.
It's interesting you brought up Lifeline of college basketball. Where are we in college basketball with some of the things that you see? The game against Missouri. Missouri's got a 25-year-old player. So does Purdue. One of the top freshmen in the league for Virginia's European player, is 24 years old. We have some interesting ways to navigate through some of this stuff.
Well, yes. I wish it was all, you know, through the COVID years, but I think we've passed those. Yep. I think it's just new and different eligibility opportunities that are being, and I would say, created that weren't here before. A little relaxation of some of those European professional pieces. You know, some of our folks who, you know, had some injuries that maybe before would have not, you know, moved into another year of eligibility, now seem to have that opportunity. So are we getting older? Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. How long it'll last? Let's go ask a court.
Yeah.
Because that's really where it'll end up.
Every question that, or issue that comes up with the NCAA seems to be, okay, well, let's find out in the courts, and they're going to lose, or they lose all the time in the court. But going back to the eligibility for a moment, is that a big concern in your world? I don't mean just the Dan Radakovich world. I mean the world of NCAA athletic directors.
I think it is, and I don't know that they lose all the time, but they're certainly under 500 as it relates to certain types of cases. Eligibility is a factor because we really just don't know right now where that's going to go. And the idea of the transfer portal, and it's the ability for those folks to get leverage, you know, the ability to transfer more than once, that really gives the leverage to student athletes at a very high level. So certainly should have the ability to transfer once. After that, I think we need to take a little pause and see how that would work. But right now, those are the rules, so we have to play the game as the rules are stated.
Well, let me write to another topic, the transfers. There's free agency in every sport, but if you're a free agent in the NBA, you're going to spend X amount of time with a team before moving on. But in college athletics, guys can play for four different teams or four different schools.
Yes, no doubt about it. That's one of the things that, you know, we're probably leaving these young men with a lot of unintended consequences. You know, the idea that you know, they're losing, I think, relationship opportunities. And I think that's part of the issue that we need to help fix.
And then, of course, we do have the payment plan. And will we go to a salary cap? Where is that sense? Should there be a salary cap? Can one conference outman another conference because of finances?
I think there's always been, you know, schools that have more resources than others. Mm-hmm. You know, so it depends on what you put the resources into. Mm-hmm. You know, it had been, we're going to put them into, you know, coaches' payments, facility upgrades, stadium upgrades, all those things that were there, and schools would pay money, you know, to help make them look shiny and new. Now it's, you know, those are still important, but it's also important to have enough money to take care of your players. So I think I'm not one that is like into the salary cap piece. I'm a little bit more of a free market economist. But I think we have to disclose. I think student athletes should disclose what monies that they receive, because the CSC, the new governing organization that was mandated through the House settlement, it's had a little bit of a hard time getting started, but it is a startup, so it's just getting its sea legs right now, and that's something that I think is going to take a little while to move together.
How are we doing in the ACC? Everything copacetic now in the ACC? Do we have issues inside the conference?
No, I think that, you know, Chip Phillips has done a phenomenal job of navigating some of those things, and I think that he's very happy that, like, every day he doesn't have to worry about somebody in the league. So I think it allows him to think about some of the bigger things, you know, what's our place within the Power Four conferences? How do we get those people to come together as commissioners and, you know, help lead college sports, because the commissioners are the vehicle to help lead college sports.
Do we have a new tiebreaker in football?
Not yet. I think we'll probably get that in May during the spring meetings. They've talked about it. I know Michael Strickland and the football folks are working on it. So we'll see some samples and examples come May at our spring meetings.
Speaking of football, for the ACC, it was a great year because of Miami, or partially because of Miami. And it was also, I think, a very good year, right, for the University of Miami in terms of the amount of viewers that you were able to get this past football season.
Yeah, it was. I mean, for the dollars, I mean, we all know that the ACC changed some of their revenue distribution opportunities, and those revenue distribution opportunities have a viewership factor, you know, inside of it. But those viewership factors are really just regular season. It doesn't count the postseason. So we still did really, really well, within that. And it's a five-year rolling average. So last year and the year before are going to be two really strong foundational bases for us moving forward as we continue to look and see, you know, what amount of revenue we get back from the ACC. So we're having a good year this year. We'll probably end up with number one or number two distribution, you know, within the league. Of course, our CFP money kind of puts us into the number one slot. But if you know, absent the CFP money, we'll be in a really good place. So excited about, you know, continuing to have those kind of opportunities with viewership, and, you know, it's another reason why you continue to have a good non-conference football schedule.
What do you think will happen with the college football playoff? Are we going to expand? Will they stay at the 12? If you look into your crystal ball, what do you foresee happening?
I think we're going to eventually have to get to 16, and probably sooner rather than later. Ultimately, you know, when we get into the early 2030s, will it get to 24? It certainly could. Because there's models that seem to show that could happen. I mean, realistically, you have 24 teams, you play one additional weekend, you're back down to where you are today. So if you get rid of conference championship games, you could have 24 teams, right, but then, you know, put it back into the schedule you have right now with the 12 teams in the playoff. So a lot of opportunities there, but I do think it'll expand in the near term.
By the way, I told you this before, but I think it's important that the Hurricane fans should know that during the build-up to Selection Sunday, there was a lot of discussion about the University of Miami, why they should be in the NCAA football, college football playoff, and you were tasked with the job of explaining why Miami should be in, and I don't think anybody has ever done a better job of explaining why their team should be in than you did during that time.
Well, it was a pretty easy job, Joe, when you were able to just say, okay, if playing high-level teams and winning those games matter, then the University of Miami should be in the playoff. And I think that was a discussion piece that we put out there early. The national media really took care of it. I mean, because so many people were of that same mindset. So It was good. It was good. I appreciate you saying that. We had a lot of people doing a lot of good work on it.
Okay, football is underway. Spring football underway. Heck of a season a year ago. And I would imagine, as always with the University of Miami, there are high expectations. And you have a pretty good home schedule. You have Florida State and Virginia Tech coming in.
Oh, we do. And University of Pittsburgh and Duke as well. So, you know, they're the defending ACC champions, so we get them on our home turf. Right. We have to take care of business there. So, yes, I think it'll be a really good home schedule. Season tickets are out for sale right now. We're doing a great job of selling those. And you were right. The expectations are high. But Mario and his staff and the players wouldn't want it any other way.
Mario had a really – he had a sweet spot of coaching last year, right? I think around that SMU game, from that point on, a lot of things clicked for him.
Oh, I think that it was, you know, one of those moments that years and years from now he'll look back and say, you know, that 3 or 4 week stretch probably made him a much better coach. And really proud of him and the staff, how they were able to react to that adversity. They didn't go in a really bad direction. They stayed positive. And I think you see the value of staying positive with young people today.
Okay, explain to our audience, because you know, the road I'm going to go down here. You know, I have orange and green eyes. I don't like Thursday night football for the University of Miami. I don't like Friday night football for the University of Miami. But you have to play on those days because
the ACC's contract with ESPN provides for a certain number of Friday night games. And we are a very popular school, so we do get asked to play on those dates. Plus, it was really interesting when we looked at those viewership numbers that we talked about earlier. There was, you know, when we played those games in late October and early November, I think most of them were at noon or some of them were at 3:30. There weren't any night games amongst there. But we were on ESPN or we were on ESPN2, and we got okay numbers. Mm-hmm. But that Friday night game against Louisville did almost 1.5 million people more than the numbers on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking to continue to raise those viewership numbers, because those viewership numbers add up to dollars, you know, having a Friday game somewhere down the road. Thursdays, I think, are out of the realm. We have one because of the holiday, you know, against Florida A&M.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, the ACC games are going to be on a Friday. So we have one. We have one on the road, or two on the road: Stanford and probably Wake Forest. And then we have the one at home. Yeah. So. Being on the road, that doesn't matter much. You know, it's not our home game, but they do give you those viewership opportunities as well.
The Friday games are a little bit of a challenge, though, for home. It's funny, a bit of a challenge. I don't like playing them on the road, but it's a bit of a challenge at home just because of South Florida and traffic and all that stuff.
Well, one of the things we did ask this past year, and hopefully we'll get a positive reaction to it, you know, our games have started at 7 on Friday. We want them to start at 7:45.
Yeah.
So, okay. You know, I think that time period allows folks just a little extra opportunity to get into the stadium, and we've gotten very good feedback on that thus far.
Two other things for you. Big Ten, Southeastern Conference. How difficult is it to deal with them? I mean, they're two enormous conferences that carry a lot of weight, and they want to carry a lot of weight.
Yeah, and they're important. I mean, they you know, Big Ten goes coast to coast, and the Southeastern Conference has, you know, Texas and all the southern parts of the United States. So. Especially where football is king. So they're very important. I think that's where Jim comes in. He carries the flag for the ACC there and tries to make sure our interests are taken care of. But the Big Ten and the SEC, I think, understand that the whole of college football is better when you have the ACC, when you have the Big Ten, Big 12, and SEC working together.
Probably a good time to buy season tickets for University of Miami football, right?
No question about it. You know, you go to our website, you know, or call in. Those are all opportunities to get some really good tickets.
Okay. Anything I can do to help with officiating or at all?
No, Joe. I know this is your favorite subject. It's your favorite subject, but we're trying. I know they're trying to get better. They're trying to get better.
All right, Dan. Always good to see you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe.
When we come back on the show, we'll hear from University of Miami recruiting analyst Larry Bluestein as we continue right after this.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks, and I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah. I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero-sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So, if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
College basketball is nonstop, big games, tight spreads, momentum swings every night. And now FanDuel is giving you a way to turn that energy into even bigger wins with a college basketball parlay profit boost. Here's how it works. Build any college hoops parlay you like. The early tip, the rivalry game, the ranked matchup, the late night West Coast shootout. Mix spreads, totals, props, whatever fits your read of the slate. Then just apply your profit boost and instantly bump up that potential payout. Go safe, go spicy, go with the team you've been following all season. It's your parlay, your style, now with even more upside behind it. Head to FanDuel.com/podcast to get started. FanDuel, play your game.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit AutoTrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. Auto Trader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Time for more Hurricane Hotline on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
All right, welcome back to the show. We move our attention now to University of Miami football. Spring football is underway. We had Pro Day, and joining us is the great recruiting analyst, our dear friend Larry Bluestein. Blue, always good to have you. Thanks for being with us here on the show.
Anytime, Joe. You know that. It's a labor of love still after all these years.
All right, our recruiting analyst, Larry Bluestein. Blue, this spring, the University of Miami, who are some of the recruits that they brought in that we should keep an eye on?
You know, this is, I talked to Coach Cristobal about this, and, you know, having been around Miami football for so many years, this may, from top to bottom, be the best recruiting class they've ever had. Because, you know, you look at the top with a kid like Jackson Cantwell, big-time kid, offensive tackle, five-star. Well, I'm not a big star guy, but, a kid who's 6'7", 325 pounds. A kid that's got, you know, parental bloodlines to the Olympics, you know, for shot put and discus. And you go, you know, with him at the top, and then go probably as far down as looking at guys like, you know, who they brought in, you know, like Brody Jennings, a cornerback from Jacksonville, or even, you know, a guy like Joel Irvin, offensive tackle from Fort Myers, who they brought in at, you know, or even a kid who's going to be a spark plug at wide receiver, like a Vance Spafford from California, who's arguably one of the fastest kids that they got in. But that's the type of guys, a Jackson Cantwell, a Samorian Wingle, a wide receiver out of St. Augustine, that are going to get a lot of play this spring. And that's important. you know, a Gavin Mueller, a tight end type of guy that they, you know, that they're really coveting, a Shari Charles from Venice here in Florida, a Milan Paris, a big body 6'5 wide receiver from Ohio. Those are the type of guys that they're going to get a good look at, you know, and then you look at the last couple of years where Malachi Toney last year, and you look at, you know, OJ Frederick the year before, where they were true freshmen and coming in and making a huge impact. You know, a kid like, you know, Fitzgerald last year from Columbus, who had arguably one of the best freshman years as a defensive back with 6 interceptions, which was as good as any. That's what it's come to now, where you have kids that are going to be plug and plays. James Dunnigan from Kansas, who I think is going to be a real, real big find at safety, a 6'3 kid out of Kansas, or a Jalen Waters out of Armwood. Those are the type of guys that they bring in, you know, in this class and kind of mesh a little bit with the NIL guys and the transfer portal guys. So they've done extremely well, you know. I mean, and now with the offensive line being such a great place and having a head coach who's offensive line oriented and having somebody like an Alex Maribel, who's a kind of a, you know, a guru when it comes to developing, you know, you get guys like that. And Ben Congdon, who is a wrestler, you know, comes in from Ohio. And Jordan Campbell, who was actually the first player who committed in this class, you know, who started out at Miami Northwestern and you know, or at Miami Carroll City, and is more of a Cordy Moore type of guy that Virginia Tech had, you know, a 6'2", 215-pound edge kid who may play a little bit outside linebacker. So that's where they've come. You know, these are – it's no longer a guy that, you know, that comes in as an 18-year-old freshman and sits around and waits his time. They're going to press. And they're going to press for playing time.
If you had to make your guess, recruiting analyst Larry Bluestein with us, if you had to make a guess, is there or who will be the Malachi Toney of this class and the Fitzgerald of this class?
I think the guy it becomes that because of need, it would be a Jackson Cantwell. You know, and that's not always the easiest position to come in and play, especially at an elite college. But Jackson is big, strong. Remember, he came in a little bit early. You know, he was there during the championship run, you know, and traveled with him, you know, worked out a little bit with him. I think he comes in because of the need at the offensive tackle spot and the fact that he's such a, you know, such a dominating player. And I think a kid that could come out of nowhere, you know, as far as being a freshman, would be like a Samorian Wingo, because, you know, yeah, they bring in wide receivers and they bring back Malachi, but they lose a couple of key players, you know, from that mix last year. And I think Samorian is, you know, at 6'2", 190 pounds, is already, remember, he came in early and he assimilated some of the Indiana guys for the national championship. And they said that he just, you know, exceeded their expectations. So I think him, I think in the secondary, I had mentioned James Dunnigan. This is a, you know, a rare find. The kid is a safety, but he has corner instincts. He hits extremely well. I think he comes in and presses for some, you know, depth chart playing time. And who knows, with an injury here or there, I got a chance to see. I went out to San Antonio and saw the Navy game this year and saw Keyshawn Stancil, the defensive lineman, 6'3", 260 pounds out of Ohio, out of North Carolina. And I got a chance to watch him play against some elite competition. So I think you're going to see a lot of these kids emerge. I think during the spring, a lot of the fans are going to have an opportunity to see some of these players like a Vance Spafford. It'd be awfully tough to take a kid who runs a 4.29 and then keep him on the bench. I think he becomes maybe a kick return guy and has an opportunity to maybe crack the lineup in some way before the season ends. And a familiar name to Miami fans, I think Camden Portis, Clinton Portis's son, is skilled enough to play in the secondary. He just has to gain some experience, and I think he does it this spring.
Blue, you and I have been doing this for a long time. There's been a lot of hope when it comes to recruiting with the University of Miami, only to really not measure up. Are they in a spot now under Coach Cristobal where he has even the playing field with the other blue bloods, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the Georgias, when it comes to recruiting?
Yeah, most definitely, because he's a top five, top 10 type of recruiting machine. And you add that nowadays with the portal and getting a lot of these transfers in, you know, that are 21, 22 years old. And I think it kind of, you know, equates out, especially last year. Look who they brought in. I mean, a lot of these people look at Jacoby Thomas or guys like that and say, oh, you know, they're cast off. Well, they're not cast off. They were 4- and 5-star kids coming out of high school. And remember, they played at Tennessee. They played at Auburn. So those type of guys, you know, coming in along with the recruiting, and you just don't get the number one player in the country like a Jackson Cantwell if you don't have an opportunity, you know, to be in the mix for a national title every year. And I think that's what the Shari Charleses of the world and Deron Coleman, Darian Coleman, the quarterback, even though, you know, it's been, you know, Miami's getting a little bit of a knock, but they're not the only school. I mean, everybody wants to have an established quarterback in the mix. And, you know, you get a guy like Coleman, who's obviously one of the top kids coming out of high school, you know, to come in. But I think he gets an opportunity to spin the ball a little bit as a backup, because you never know what happens with the kid Darian Manson. You know, you're very fortunate the last 2 years in the fact that, you know, Cam was healthy throughout the career or throughout his year, and so was Carson Beck. But you know how it goes. I mean, you get an injury and it could kind of turn the world upside down. So these young kids got to be ready. They got to be ready just in case, because you know I know a lot of people say, well, it's a $50 watch band on a $5 million watch. Well, you know, that $50 watch band needs to, you know, come up to speed pretty quick, because you never know when you're going to be called upon.
How much of a bump in recruiting has the University of Miami received because of the last 2 years? A 10-win season 2 years ago, last year going to the national championship game.
Yeah, those four games, you know that going against a 13-1 Texas A&M team on the road, national exposure, even in the Texas, and see a lot of those kids getting a chance in that Texas area to see them, then beating a defending national champion in Ohio State, and then playing a 13-1 Ole Miss team, then playing a 15-0 Indiana team that arguably was one of the hottest programs in the country, and Miami was that one last possession, you know, from having a chance to win a national title. So yeah, without a doubt, Joe, it's been so valuable to them. And you know, the fans, and we kind of don't listen to the fans all the time, but these are the ones that bother Miami about, oh, you need to stay home and get your recruits at home. Yeah, not always the fact. When Miami dominated back in the day, you didn't, you know, get a Marvin Jones, you didn't get a Derek Thomas. And when Miami was dominating back in those days, or Steve Hutchinson, there's always going to be kids that get away. But I think right now, you know, with the Malachi Tonys and players like that, you're keeping kids home that belong here and want to be here. And, you know, Duke Johnson and I talked about that last week about, you know, it's always great to stay home, but not everybody's a fit for the University of Miami. But, yeah, I think to answer your question, just being in the spotlight last year alone, a favorable spotlight, because you remember they lost in that, you know, in the Pop-Tart Bowl the year before, you know, to Iowa State. And I think a lot of people say, oh, come on, you know, they shouldn't be losing. I think last year kind of righted a lot of wrong.
Well, when it comes to the recruiting of local players, I've always said there are great players everywhere. And last time Miami won a championship, the quarterback was from California, Ken Dorsey. Jeremy Shockey was from Oklahoma. We had a center from Canada in Brent Romberg. Bryant McKinney was from Pennsylvania. It just goes on. DJ Williams with some California. So it goes on and on. There are great players everywhere. Last thing for you. Did Carson Beck help himself in a pro day?
100%. And, you know, and I know the Jets are really interested, you know, maybe not the first round, but maybe in the middle of the second round to come up because they need a quarterback. And remember, Carson Beck brings something to the table. He's a more experienced guy. He's a little older. So he's not going to be somebody that needs to come in and be coddled. I think he gets the opportunity. I think physically, you know, he lost 15 pounds between the end of the national championship run and now. He got real serious, got in the weight room. He's always had a really good arm. I think now he's got an opportunity to be really, really special. And I think he could play in the league, you know, for quite a few years to come.
All right. Always a great pleasure to talk with you, Blue. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Anytime, Joe. We appreciate it.
All right. That's the great recruiting analyst, Larry Bluestein. Thank you for joining us on the show. Trevor Harris has been our producer. For Blue, I'm Joe Z. Have a very pleasant good evening.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit AutoTrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. AutoTrader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Have you or a family member been diagnosed with early-stage non-small cell lung cancer that can be removed by surgery? Consider talking to an oncologist about your treatment options. Why? Because knowing your options before you have surgery can help your care team develop a treatment plan that's right for you. Learn about a potential treatment plan before and after surgery at askbeforesurgery.com. That's askbeforesurgery.com. And talk to an oncologist before your surgery.
Looking for a protein powder that tastes great and keeps ingredients simple? Meet Clean Simple Eats. Clean Simple Eats uses grass-fed whey protein isolate with 20 grams of complete protein per serving, plus digestive enzymes and a low-lactose formula designed to be easy on digestion. No artificial colors, no artificial sweeteners, just clean ingredients and amazing flavors you'll actually look forward to. They even offer variety packs, so you can try multiple flavors. Clean Simple Eats is undeniably clean and 100% delicious. Shop now at cleansimpleeats.com.